Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast, an exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome. We are on episode number
93.
The year I was born. Beautiful.
Is it?
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Now you're a youngin. Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah. Very young. And my name is Shama Sangeeta.
You know, when you do those segues, I always feel like, you know, you could have been like, wow, you're so young. Shamali Pranati, my name is...
Oh, that's a good, you know, smooth like just, transition.
No.
She doesn't care.
No, I don't care.
Like earlier in one of the other episodes, you were like talking about like, oh, shout out to my mother. And you could have been, who gave me the name?
Ah, right. Because shout out to my mom. Anyway, I'm Shama Sangeeta.
No, you know what?
She just cuts
literally,
right through.
Abhijit, our producer, puts it up on the screen. And like literally, like that's all I can focus on. So whatever sentence, I stop mid-sentence. And I'm like, my name is Shama Sangeeta. You know, like literally, just literally... Because I can't.
That's hilarious.
I can't be more charming with it.
Well, my name is Priyadarshini.
And my name is Shamali.
Cool.
Pranati.
Y'all are
moving on. Y'all are great.
You're
humans.
Great.
We are on a great chapter. This I'm loving this best. Chapter.
It's so fun.
Enjoying it so much.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It has me on a roller coaster of like, oh my God, this is so exciting. Oh my gosh, I'm so like, why would Arjuna be feeling in this moment? Like, it's just so much anxiety and excitement and joy and fear and everything.
Yeah. There's a roller coaster of emotions in this chapter.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what's a quick recap of the last chapter. So Krishna's giving Arjuna kind of like a future vision of like what's going to happen to all the soldiers, right? Mm. And then he like speaks the famous verse, made famous by Oppenheimer, but famous originally from Krishna, "Time, I am the great destroyer of worlds." And he's literally telling Arjuna in the new tonality, in this new universal form tone, get up and fight. Mm. Everything's already arranged. Yeah. Get up and fight.
Very serious.
Right.
He's like, this is it.
Yeah. I'm not playing around no more. There's no more BS.
Yeah. And he literally showed, while Arjuna was in another anxiety attack, what to do. So he showed him the future. He showed him the plan and he told him, this is the plan. It will happen whether you fight or not. So do it.
Yeah. And so basically Arjuna's like, okay, well, now that I've learned all of that, I'm a little afraid.
Yeah.
But also I'm just like, have so many questions. Like what are we doing? What are the next steps?
What's the plan?
Yeah. It was really nice to talk it through with you ladies of what must Arjuna be feeling. Cause I don't think on our own, we take the time enough to really sit with what Arjuna's feeling was. Krishna, his intimate friend, cousin, confidant, who all of a sudden he's like, I don't know.
All
who
of a
you
sudden,
are.
Your friend has 100,000 heads and like fire coming out of their mouths, and
relatable.
All the demigods, and like so relatable, right?
Yeah.
And like all of a sudden, he's like killing people, like in a future vision, and he's showing you everything. Like it's I've never been in Arjuna's shoes.
Yeah,
right? I don't know if you guys have.
No.
Your friend,
not particularly,
just shows
that.
So.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I can only imagine that he's a little scared.
A little scared.
I would have been crying in a ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada basically says, this is a whole also beautiful symbolic analysis on how we should carry our lives. Because Prabhupada, in the purport, the last purport sentence we read was, one should follow Krishna's plan and be victorious in the struggle for existence. So Krishna's telling Arjuna, be victorious, stand up. This is yours to take, this victory. Go for it. And we talked about how Krishna is also so kind and merciful that he orchestrates everything. It's his plan, but he lets his devotees take the credit. And I want to actually ask Priya one thing that she can bring up in the recap, because I thought it was a very sweet feeling she had towards the end of the last episode where, right, we were saying for Arjuna, it's very obvious what the plan is because Krishna is telling him the plan. Follow the plan. Do this.
Right.
And Priya had said, right, for us in our own lives, it might be a little more convoluted. What is the plan? But Prabhupada mentions in the purport that that's why we need to follow our spiritual master's plan for us, because a devotee's plan is as good as Krishna's plan. And the spiritual master is a medium, like Krishna's speaking and acting through our spiritual master. So, you know, for us, we need to seek that guidance. And that, you know, it struck you, Priya, I could see in a really sweet way. Like sometimes, I don't know, the way we hear something, it hits a chord in us. So what did that feel for you?
Yeah, I think it was just a really good reminder for myself and for everyone. I mean, anyone can take from this, but for me, it was like, sometimes we are making difficult decisions in life. And just to give a random example, like in your life, you might be thinking, oh, am I supposed to choose this career or choose this, or am I supposed to do service, or am I supposed to do this? Like choices in life that are difficult. Am I supposed to be in this relationship or not? Am I supposed to be friends with this person or not? Like all of these different questions, right? And like we say, like, how do we know what our path is? Like we said, Arjuna has Krishna telling him, this is the right thing to do, so do it. But for us, we're just kind of like, well, sometimes the choice that seems like it's not supposed to be could lead us closer to Krishna in whatever way. Or, you know, like for example, for me, it'd be like, oh, what should I develop a particular career moving forward, or should I focus more of my energy on the Modern Yogi podcast? Whatever situation that, you know, whatever applies to you, but something like that. And I think for me in that moment, whenever we read that part where Prabhupada was saying the spiritual master is the way in which we can know, the same way that Krishna is telling Arjuna, and the way Arjuna is knowing from Krishna. And that really reminded me, like, okay, like, even if it isn't, like, the best way, the best things we can do, especially if you have a close relationship with your guru, is to reach out and ask some of the questions. Obviously, we're not going to ask him, like, what should I have for lunch? We should really be, it should be, like, difficult things, because they're trying to guide so many people into getting closer to Krishna. But when something is important to us and we don't know what to do, it reminded me to think, like, what would my spiritual master say, right? Even if you can't write that letter, even if you can't talk to that, you know, your guru, your mentor directly, even asking yourself that question, what will my gurus do, say? What would my mentor say? It's like a helping aid in making that decision. And that was such a good reminder for me, just for my life as in a practical way. So
beautiful, beautiful.
Wait, Priya, just to reiterate, you're not supposed to ask your guru what you're supposed to eat for lunch. Does anybody know how to unsend an email? No, I'm joking.
No, I mean, I have heard many people ask their gurus like everything about their lives, right? Yeah. Like, and I think some decisions are best, you know, for us to make, but then there's others that we really struggle with. And I think those are great moments to seek out to our gurus, our mentors. And sometimes a friend is enough, right? Like sometimes all you need is somebody, like a friend who Krishna is speaking through is good enough. But sometimes they're really hard decisions. And so that's a moment where it's really nice to get the counsel of someone connected, more connected to Krishna.
Beautiful. You know, can I share something now? And I was holding on to it for a different moment. And I still think in a different moment, I want to say it in a different context. But something you said, Priya, served as a reminder within me. And I think it's a nice fitting little anecdote. So when you said to ask our spiritual masters advice on different things, should I be in this relationship or not, different, whatever you're going through, hardships, you know, and it made me think for a second, my thought process was, huh, with this difficult phase that I've been going through, have I been asking for guidance? And then I thought, whether I'm asking for it or not, the guidance is there. And I want to share just one little thing that happened to me that really highlighted our spiritual master's guidance is always there. And it's amazing. So I will share this, maybe realizations from this later on when it applies, but basically context, you know, the past few weeks, I've been off of a fresh heartbreak. Everyone can relate to that feeling. Sucks. it's not been great. So in a different moment when I can connect it to the verse, I can share realizations from there. But now just one little moment where I felt my spiritual master's guidance in this, which was beautiful because as I've said, he's passed away already, but I still felt his guidance. This was the day after it happened. Like I had had the final ending conversation. I was so sad. It might've even been the day it happened. I think it was the day. So later on in the evening, I decided to go on a walk outside and I put on my spiritual master's jacket, which I got as like Maha, is like something from him through some sweet arrangement. I was left with it. And he knew I had it because he was like, I wanted someone who lived in a colder place to have it. And it gets chilly in California, right? So I put on his big jacket.
In the evening. It was such an unexpected thing to say, but it's so accurate.
Yeah,
it is actually chilly here.
Yeah.
In the evening, yeah, I guess.
So
chilly.
I put on the jacket and I went on a walk outside and it was all misty and I was sad. I was so deflated and heavy and I can go on for a while on what I felt. But I was wearing his jacket. Then I turned around, walked back home. And context understanding the significance of this. Do you guys remember the moment I described when I was traveling around Europe? He was still alive. And one evening I was in Germany and he wasn't feeling well. So he was in his room and I was outside on the grassy field with my God family. And I told them that night how, oh man, I don't want to leave you guys and like my spiritual family, my spiritual master. I'll be sad to go back home where I don't have his presence won't be there. And jokingly, I was like, hello, darkness, my old friend. And the next day, Kadamba Kanna Maharaj asked me, who
yesterday was singing The Sound of Silence. And I was like, oh, I didn't know, Maharaj, you heard that. He was like in a building. And I was like, well, that was me. And he said, I thought that was you. And I told him a little why I sang it. I was going to be sad to leave him. And I ended my spiel by saying, hello, darkness, my old friend. And he gave me a deep look in my eyes. And he said, I'll come to talk to you again, which is the next line of the song. Wow. And I was like, what, really? Like a dream or something? And he chuckled and he's like, yes, with a little twinkle in his eye. So
beautiful.
Flash forward to a few weeks ago. I'm pretty sure it was the day that the heartbreak, it all ended, that relationship. I went on the walk. I was wearing his jacket. I got back home and my sister had her songs playing on shuffle. And you know how it was through Alexa. She was like, Alexa wasn't working. And she was like, Alexa, play the next song. Alexa, Alexa. The moment I walk in the door wearing Kadamba Kanda Maharaj's jacket, this song literally never plays on my sister's shuffle. But she said, Alexa, play the next song. And immediately I walk in and it starts, hello, darkness, my old friend.
Wow.
I'll come to talk to you again. And my sister said, hey, that's really cool because this song never plays on my shuffled songs, like ever. Alexa never plays it.
Yeah.
And I just broke down and I started crying and crying and crying in that moment because I felt like, you know what? No matter how horrible this feels in this moment, I am still being divinely guided. And my spiritual master, all of our spiritual masters, no matter if they're physically present or not, or they may still be alive on another part of the world, they will always find a way to show us, we're here guiding you. Don't worry, I've got you. And I just really, I broke down crying because it really felt like he's still here guiding me throughout all of the moments.
Oh my God, now I'm going to cry. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is so beautiful. It's true. It's in those moments that we're being guided. And we just have to be there to listen too, right? Because there's sometimes Krishna is guiding us in those voices in our heart as parampara, right?
Yeah.
And it's very silent and sometimes it's very subtle.
Oh.
And it's just a matter of us tuning into that.
Yeah. And I just want to take this moment to say, I know I've told you guys before, but I really want to acknowledge again how meaningful this is to be doing this with you guys. Mm-hmm. Because when I was in the lowest moments of feeling so sad throughout this process, we had that filming day that I told you guys meant so much to me. And you guys reminded me, you were like, Shamali, you said before, good, bad, who's to say? And I was like, I guess I did say that. And then both of you gave me reminders of, we're reading this time and time again in the Gita of have faith in Krishna's plan and also be a little detached because we're going to go through these things in this world. And you guys kept repeating that. So I left home feeling like so empowered and I was still sad, but I felt like, but there's so much meaningfulness in this sadness and I'm being guided. I have my support systems that I can totally rest on through these pains. So it just, thank you guys for being here for me in these moments.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing
that. Yeah.
That's, be detached and have faith in Krishna's plan.
Mm.
That is, I love that. That is so important for us to do because what else are we doing, right? Like we can be chanting all the rounds, we can be reading all the stuff, but if we don't have faith and our mind is constantly in anxiety over things that we can't control, then what's the point of all of it, right?
Yeah.
Literally, our job is to have faith and build that relationship with Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we've said, it is hard to sometimes see Krishna, why is this happening? But it's only like, I was about to bring this up in the last episode when you brought up Steve Jobs saying you can only connect the dots looking back. But I thought, no, I'm going to hold on to it. I don't know. I didn't say it. And this was the perfect moment with the spiritual master's guidance.
Yeah. It's good to remember that Krishna is always looking out for us, always looking to guide us. And we just got to look for these small moments, right?
Yeah.
And just like, look that, oh, Krishna's still there. He's still guiding me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that was beautiful.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you guys for creating the space that I could share it. We're being so guided and it's such a magical process.
It is. It really is.
Krishna's the greatest of all mystics and he orchestrated that little moment so I could feel my spiritual master's presence when I really needed it.
Mm. I would love if you two can do the invocation.
We haven't even started the episode.
20 minutes into the episode. No, but this is good. This is literally like
this is
spiritual
life.
Master and this life and guiding us. And so this invocation is right on point too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Die.
Okay.
Om Jnanate Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation: I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them.
Mm.
Jai. That takes on a whole new meaning for me in this episode.
Yeah.
Yes, so thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh, thank you guys.
Wow.
All right.
So many feelings.
So many feelings.
Well, now we get to an exciting part because Sanjaya is speaking again.
Sanjaya.
Oh, Krishna. Sanjaya.
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 I love him.
Yes.
I love him.
We just learned from Abhijit that we've been pronouncing it wrong for the Sanskrit pronunciation, and he taught us how to pronounce it, and I did it wrong with the first time I had to say it. So
but there's so many people that pronounce it wrong.
I know. That's how I learned it, but I'll try better.
Okay.
Okay.
Chapter 11, text number 35, Priyadarshini.
Sanjaya said... Did I say it right?
Yeah, good. It's good.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I say Sanjaya.
I know. He told us that's wrong. Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, O king, after hearing these words from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the trembling Arjuna offered obeisances with folded hands again and again. He fearfully spoke to Lord Krishna in a faltering voice as follows.
Mm. One more time?
Yeah.
Yes. Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, O king, after hearing these words from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the trembling Arjuna offered obeisances with folded hands again and again. He fearfully spoke to Lord Krishna in a faltering voice as follows.
And since the previous text, the words that Krishna spoke was in the previous thing, it basically said that all the great warriors have already been destroyed by me. Therefore, kill them. Don't be disturbed. Simply fight. And you will vanquish your enemies in battle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's said in the really like manly universal form tone, yeah, boom, like boom, boom, very, you know,
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of a little aggressive universal form.
Wow. I can picture Arjuna trembling.
Yeah.
Everyone else there must be thinking, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
They're like, why hasn't the war started yet?
Hey, again, remember, only 45 minutes for this whole book.
Yeah. I know, but 45 minutes is a really long time. Like, if I'm like standing there with a club and it's a really heavy club, okay, and I'm on one of the soldier sides, like, my arms are getting tired.
I'm not an expert on this, but I think Krishna did something with time to make it like feel like less for everyone. Could it be?
Ooh, maybe.
I'm gonna have to confirm that, but I've heard it would make sense, right?
If he did that. But maybe not, because he wants everyone to hear it, and then he was like, I can keep this short.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Okay, so remember, yeah. Story within a story. Sanjaya is saying this to the king, and then Arjuna is trembling and he's scared, and now he's going to speak.
Right. Yeah, so Prabhupada says, just a little add-on to that, he says, Arjuna became bewildered in wonder. Thus he began to offer his respectful obeisances again and again with a faltering voice, not as a friend, but as a devotee in wonder.
Ooh.
So that position changed. The moment he saw the universal form, it was like, oh, wait, you're not just my friend. There's something.
You're like God, God.
You're like God, God, God.
Yeah. Ooh, God, God, God. That's good. Like, that's legit.
That's just like God, God.
When you
like,
say something whew. Three times, it's like super legitimate. You're like God, God, God.
Yeah. So text 36, Shama Sangita.
Arjuna said, O master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage.
Oh, I like it. Homage. Be French.
Mm-hmm. The demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done.
Wait, can you read that again? But like, sorry. Stop at every sentence.
Yeah. I don't even know what I just read. I'm going to be honest. Okay. Arjuna speaking. Arjuna said, O master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you.
Okay, cool.
Simple.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Love it, right? We talked about how people, like the first time they're in kirtan, they start crying, you know, like it, because they're just joyful. Mm-hmm. And we know how we feel in certain kirtans. Like Shamali and I were at a place called Mantra House earlier this week, and literally the most joyful kirtan, you know, like it just pierced your soul.
Yeah.
Right? And that's literally. All just the names of Krishna, right?
Mm.
So this is pretty self-explanatory. The world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you.
We don't want to do a little Hare Krishna mantra for a second.
No, let's keep going.
No, okay.
Okay, cool. Cool, 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 cool. Cool.
We got this.
All right. Everyone's good with that? Any comments, questions, concerns on that first line?
No. Yes. Good, good,
okay.
Good.
This one gets this one. Okay, now, okay, let's do the next one. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage or homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. Okay, so it's that one sentence. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there.
Right, because basically Arjuna is confirming that Krishna is the maintainer and the object of worship for devotees.
Yes.
But the destroyer of the, Prabhupada calls them, undesirables.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is literally like good versus evil, right? Like, right. And every avatar, like avatar that Krishna has come in, right? Like even look at Lord Ram, right? Mm. Like what is the story of Diwali? It is the story of good versus evil. What is happening right here in the Mahabharata? It is a story of good versus evil. So like Krishna is, or like Arjuna is literally saying that people who love you and respect you, they're right going to offer their prayers. But if exactly you are demonic or evil, like you're going to run because you know that totally Krishna is righteous.
And he's going to come to destroy
you. He's going to come get you.
He's going to come get you.
Going to get you, get you, get you, get you one way or another. He's going to get you.
Do you remember that show, Bad Boys, Bad Boys? What you're gonna do?
Yes.
What you're gonna cops do when they come for you?
Cops.
Yeah.
So you're exactly correct. And Prabhupada says it here. It says, in all cases, a devotee glorifies the Lord because he knows that whatever Krishna does is good for all. Right? Yep. It's going to be a benefit to all. So it's like good, bad, who's to say? When you have faith in Krishna, you know that whatever decision he makes, it's going to be a good decision.
Yeah.
Right.
That's real.
Woo.
Oof.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Anything else on the purport?
I mean, just basically, yeah, Arjuna, after hearing from Krishna, basically the outcome of the battle of Kurukshetra that's about to happen, he became enlightened. And as a great devotee and friend of Krishna, he said that everything done by Krishna is fit, is quite fit, and the best outcome for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Arjuna understood herein that when the battle of Kurukshetra was being concluded, in outer space, there were present many demigods, siddhas, and Prabhupada calls them the intelligentsia of the higher planets. And they were observing the fight because Krishna was present there. So basically, they all gathered around from all the dimensions, the heavenly planets, to watch because they want to see Krishna, God, in action. And this is an opportunity to see that unfold.
That's really cool, actually.
Amazing.
Yeah. I love that.
Like, how cool that we can't see it, but they're all there watching in other realms.
Anything else?
I think that's good. Shyamali?
Yeah. Shyamali.
Text 37.
Oh, great one, greater even than Brahma. You, Krishna, are the original creator. Why then should they not offer their respectful obeisances unto you? Oh, limitless one, God of gods, refuge of the universe. You are the invincible source, the cause of all causes, transcendental to this material manifestation.
Ooh, one more time.
Oh, great one, greater even than Brahma. You are the original creator. Why then should they not offer their respectful obeisances unto you? Oh, limitless one, God of gods, refuge of the universe. You are the invincible source, the cause of all causes, transcendental to this material manifestation.
So all the people that trash talk us in our comments and say that like, there's like a hierarchy that like we always say that Krishna is the greatest, right? And then there's a hierarchy of demigods. I literally just want to copy and paste this verse under every single comment to be like, hey, Arjuna is like, hey, why then should they not offer the respectful obeisances unto you? And that's it. And don't say anything else. And maybe just a just an emoji. That's
all right. Let's come from the mode of goodness.
Mode of goodness. Mode of goodness. Sorry.
And it's interesting because by this offering of obeisances, Prabhupada says that Arjuna indicates that Krishna is worshipable by everyone. He's all pervading. And I like how he says he is the soul of every soul. Well, how beautiful. The soul of every soul.
This particular verse reminds me of the thought process that Arjuna is repeating himself. But then when Prabhupada explained that when there is repetition, it usually think about the fact that he's trembling. He's offering to Krishna obeisances and saying all of this. He is overwhelmed, in awe, like really finally grasping everything that Krishna has been saying to another level that he hasn't before. So we might be thinking, oh, he's just saying the same stuff, but he's saying it in a different context.
Right.
He's saying it, seeing Krishna's universal form, experiencing death of all his family members right in front of his eyes. Like the gravity of it is like so different.
Oh my gosh. When you said that, Priya, in that way, he's experiencing the death of his family, the death of everything he has known before, the world as he knew it, and then comes around and says this. To me, it just painted an image of his only lifeline then is Krishna, and he's totally surrendering to Krishna and holding on to him because there's nothing else that's going to continue beyond this point.
Yeah.
That's so real.
Yeah.
It's so powerful and such a good lesson for all of us, actually. You know, like just knowing that Krishna got you.
Oh,
Krishna's got you. Wow. Oof. Yeah.
It's intense. It's an intense situation, Arjuna. And I can imagine this, the feelings, don't know what to do with yourself, but having so much awe and respect for Krishna and then also so much fear and concern and like, whoa, oh my God.
I've just seen something unexplainable, on the brink of something magical, scary.
Yeah. Can you imagine God being in front of you, showing you his divine form, this universal form, and then you get a vision of all your family members dying? Like, that's intense.
That's intense. That's intense,
you know, to say the least. Yeah.
What would the talk therapy session after that look
like? Oh my God, I would need to be in therapy for lifetimes.
So this week's been intense.
I
don't know where to start.
I saw the unlimited form of God and
they would prescribe medication for you.
And he was eating all my family members. And it was a hard week. Like just Arjuna's therapy session that week.
And the therapist jotting notes, like bewildered.
He's bewildered, thinks the God is eating his friends.
Schizophrenic.
That's a lot.
And again, it's a lot.
I was also going to say, like, basically this is going to go on because I think it's like, there's so much to say for Arjuna after seeing all of these things. And so he's really going, oh my gosh. Okay. So you are the original creator. Of course, they should be paying obeisances. Oh my God, of course. Like, this whole time.
What else are they doing?
You're just my friend, but like, how do they not know everything that you've just shown me? Like, that makes so much sense. You are our refuge. Like, you are the God of God. Oh my, like, it's like that.
Oh my God, I love this vibe.
Yeah.
Because
I
think you're embodying Arjuna really perfectly. Like, how could you not?
What were we thinking?
Wait, can you say the whole verse in that frantic voice, please?
Read it.
Here you go.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, great one. Greater than Brahma. You are the original creator.
Yes.
Why should they not offer their obeisances, their respectful obeisances unto you? Oh my God, limitless one. God of gods.
Get it.
Refugee of the universe.
Get it, girl.
Refugee of the universe.
Refuge.
Oh my God, refuge. Sorry.
Refugee.
I got too excited.
Keep going.
Of the universe. You are invincible. The invincible source, the cause of all causes, the transcendental to this material manifestation.
Yes, Priya.
That was, give the Oscar.
Totally.
Like, give the Oscar to Priya.
Totally.
Like,
I felt it. I can imagine.
Wow. Yeah, he's like freaking out, but in a good way. You know, he's like, how does everyone not see this?
You know, you're absolutely correct what you said, that he's repeating what he's already said, but now on the other side of it.
Like,
now I know.
Oof. Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah. That was hilarious when you said refugee of the universe.
Sorry.
That was good though. You got caught up in the moment. I love it. Yeah. You were in character. That was really good.
Wow.
That was beautiful.
And wow, to think Arjuna's still being so eloquent despite he's trembling.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I would say in that state.
Let's keep going because
oh my God, I'm so excited.
I'm just like nervous and excited for the rest.
And I just want to throw out there, he uses all of these names that have so much meaning in the Sanskrit translation. Mahatma means Krishna's magnanimous and unlimited. Ananta, there's nothing that is not covered by the influence or energy of the Lord. Devesha, which means he's the controller of all demigods and is above them all. He's the shelter of the whole universe. And then towards the end, he uses the word Aksharam. I think I'm pronouncing it Aksharam because this material creation is subject to destruction, but the Lord is above the material creation. So in Sanskrit, it all holds so much weight.
Yes. It's like the words are greater than even what we're saying.
Yeah. Totally.
Like when we're saying, oh, great one. Yeah. Greater even than Brahma. The Sanskrit word is like, no, the greatest person in the whole universe. That means, you know, like magnanimous and unlimited. It's like, it's so much deeper than the English can actually give.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whew.
Beautiful.
Okay. Text 38.
Priyadarshini.
Oh my goodness. Okay. It keeps going. So Arjuna says, you are the original personality of Godhead, the oldest, the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world. You are the knower of everything. And you are all that is knowable. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes. O limitless form, this whole cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you.
Mm. Can you do that one sentence at a time?
Yes. You are the original personality of Godhead, the oldest, the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world.
Mm.
Okay, the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world.
That's beautiful. So we've heard that you're a God. You're the oldest. We've heard that. But the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world.
Meaning like this manifested becomes unmanifested. So the only safe place is Krishna.
Yes. Wow. What is a sanctuary? It's that safe place.
The only safe place is Krishna.
Yeah. Well, there's this term in American cities, like called sanctuary cities, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, that's the safe place for like undocumented immigrants, right? Mm-hmm. Sanctuary means like you can't be touched by anything, right? Mm. Sanctuary means safety.
Yeah.
Right. Ooh.
Yeah. You are the knower of everything and you are all that is knowable.
Mm.
So not only does he have all the knowledge, but he is all the knowledge.
Mm, yeah.
Whew. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm. Above the material modes. And we'll get to the material modes a little bit. We talked a little bit about goodness, passion, and ignorance. It's
like you hold on to Krishna and you can get beyond the modes.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, do you guys want to say something about the purport? Because I think Arjuna is on fire and he's going to keep going.
Right. Just again with the names, he calls him Nidha Nam, meaning that everything, even the Brahman effulgence, rests on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I like, Priya, your interpretation of Krishna is all that is knowable. It's all knowledge because Prabhupada says he is the knower of everything that is happening in the world. And if knowledge has any end, he is the end of all knowledge. Therefore, he is the knowledge of the knowable.
Mm.
Yeah.
Another nickname that I like is Anantarupa, which means, oh, limitless form. So you have to remember the time, place, context, right? Arjuna just saw a limitless form of Krishna.
Right.
And it's literally giving him that nickname of like, holy crap, I just saw everything. Wow. You are limitless.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
That is mind-boggling.
Amazing. Okay.
39.
Shama Sangeeta.
Nice
Shama
Sangeeta.
Okay. Arjuna says, you are air and you are the supreme controller. You are fire. You are water and you are the moon. You are Brahma, the first living creature. And you are the great grandfather. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you 1,000 times and again and yet again.
Wow.
Oh, I mean, chills.
The whole repetition thing is so on point because he's just basically repeating a lot of the points that we went through in chapter 10. You are the sun, the moon, this, that. But now he's saying like, oh my God, you are that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The gravity of it has changed so much. Oh.
Imagine you guys, this is how we might feel at the end of our lives. If we ever get lucky enough to be graced by seeing Krishna, we might repeat everything we've ever learned and talked about here on Modern Yogi Podcast. Yeah. And we'll be like, you are that.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh. How much do we need air?
Oof. Yeah.
We need it to survive. And Arjuna says, you are air. You are the supreme controller. We need fire, water, the moon. Mm. You are Brahma, the first living creature. You are the great grandfather. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you 1,000 times and again and yet again.
Oh, you can feel the love there in that last line. Like, I just can't get enough of how much I want to offer obeisances to you.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. Let's keep going.
Love
I feel like we're going through a journey together. Yeah. This is quite something.
Definitely. Shamali, text 40. Mm.
Obeisances to you from the front, from behind, and from all sides. Oh, unbounded power. You, Krishna, are the master of limitless might. You are all pervading, and thus you are everything.
This is an epiphany happening right now.
Literally, Arjuna is like kind of like in a state of ecstasy.
This is literally like Oprah, like aha moment happening for Arjuna now. This is opening his eyes. He's saying, I don't feel like he's like scared anymore.
No.
He's just in this place of like awe and reverence and just love, you know?
Yeah. And Prabhupada even actually uses the word ecstasy. Prabhupada says, out of loving ecstasy for Krishna, his friend Arjuna is offering his respects from all sides. He is accepting that he, Krishna, is the master of all potencies and all prowess and far superior to all the great warriors assembled on the battlefield. Wow.
Mm. Yeah. So he's bowing down again and again. Wow.
You are everything.
You are everything.
Wow. I mean, don't we say that to people we totally love? You're
you are my everything.
You are you're everything to me.
It's okay. We get it.
It's okay. I get the song you were trying to sing. Yeah. We're gonna let that one go. We're gonna take that offline. Okay.
There's a song, I swear. You are everything to me. I just couldn't get the timing. You know it.
Michelle Branch.
Thank you. Say it.
Everywhere.
You do it.
You are everything to me. Close my eyes. You are the
I see.
We're going to take this offline. We're going to take it offline. It's going to be great.
All right.
But Michelle Branch, Everywhere. It's a great song.
Like, it's totally a testimony of a love also. Yeah. It's awe. It's love. Oh, what? What?
I'm excited. Let's keep going.
Okay, let's keep going.
Okay.
Text 4142 Priyadarshini.
Okay. Arjuna, thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you, O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, not knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I might have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jested as we relaxed, laid on the same bed, or sat or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, please excuse me for all of those offenses.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Because, guys, I've made fun of you both so many times on and off air. And if one of you ended up being God, I would be so remorseful. Okay. I would be like, please, for the love of God, please forgive me. I have just thought of you as my friend, and I've joked around with you. I've ate with you. I've poked fun at you. And you ended up being God. So I'm very, very, very sorry.
Yeah.
Please excuse me for these offenses.
And even Arjuna says, in madness or in love. And I think madness can be described also as playfulness or whatever. It can be so many things, but in love too, right? Because you make fun of us out of love. Like these things that are...
I do make fun of you out of love.
He's like, I treat you like just friendly and like I'm goofy. And I say, I call you in such names, but you are... Holy cow. It's like you're the king of the universe. You're the most powerful person in the world. And I've just been treating you like just any old person. And Oh my God. I'm so sorry for not seeing everything that, you know, that you are.
This verse is like the ultimate whoopsies, you know? It's like whoopsies. Like, I really just thought you were this normal guy, my friend, you know, with kind of some divine qualities, but you are like literally everything. You are God.
God.
You are God.
I love that Krishna's probably just thinking, that's what I wanted all along.
Prabhupada actually says it here. He says, Krishna is so kind and merciful that in spite of such opulence, he played with Arjuna as a friend.
Oof. Yeah. Such is the transcendental loving reciprocation between the devotee and the Lord. And this part's sweet. It says the relationship between the living entity and Krishna is fixed eternally. It cannot be forgotten, as we can see from the behavior of Arjuna. Although Arjuna has seen the opulence in the universal form, he cannot forget his friendship, his friendly relationship with Krishna.
Wow.
My God.
Like you can be covered over by so many layers, go through so many lives and lives and lives, but bottom line, you can't escape it because it's always going to eternally be there. It's, what did you dissect the last time? It's a primal, what did you talk
necessity?
About?
Necessity?
Yeah, there was a word.
Objective.
Primal objective. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Priya, do you want to read it one more time? This is so beautiful.
This is really good, actually.
Thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you, O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, not knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I might have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jested as we relaxed, laid on the same bed or sat or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, please excuse me for all of those offenses.
Whoopsies.
My God.
That's really beautiful, actually. And if you really care about someone, you don't want to offend them, right? Yeah. And I think this is like a testament to us in our relationships with our spiritual friends. It's like, okay, if things happen, to apologize and and seek forgiveness.
There's also like, I like to think of Krishna sometimes as a celebrity because it's relatable to us in terms of like, you know, position. And I think I heard a story once of this, I'm just going to say famous people without saying their names. Should I say their names?
Just say their names. Okay. They're not listening to the podcast. Yet. Until they get that Modern Yogi tongue scraper and then they're like, I'm a fan.
So I guess Ryan Reynolds went to like a karaoke party hosted by some famous person.
Yeah.
And Harry Styles did a rendition of ABBA.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
And after he came off the stage, Ryan Reynolds went up to him and said, oh my gosh, you should like sing for a living. right? In like a friendly, like, you have an amazing voice. You maybe should do this. Like, I don't know if you pursue it at all. Yeah. And he didn't know who he was. And I think that's kind of like Arjuna. He's kind of like, hey, buddy. Like, and then he's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that you were like this grand person. And so, right. I think it was Ryan Reynolds. He later goes on to say like, I didn't know who he was. And then afterwards I was like, oh my God, I should have, you know.
That's a great analogy. Yeah.
Right.
That's very good.
And so it's like, it's the same. It's like, he's like, he just treats him like, hey, buddy. And then he's like, oh my gosh, he's not just my buddy. He's like the universe. He's everything.
Wow. Arjuna's like, wow, you're pretty good at godliness. You should like do God all the time. Just like be God all the time. And then Krishna's like, hold my beer.
Like, no, okay. That phrase.
Hold my non-alcoholic beer. And like, Krishna's really good at being God.
Yeah. Okay. That's so funny.
Text
I love that.
43, Shama Sangeeta.
Yes. Arjuna is saying, you are the father of this complete cosmic manifestation of the moving and the non-moving. You are its worshipable chief, the supreme spiritual master. No one is equal to you, nor can anyone be one with you. How then could there be anyone greater than you within the three worlds, O Lord of immeasurable power?
Beautiful.
And I think when he asks these questions, he's literally thinking to himself, there's no way, right? Like, there's no way there's anyone more powerful than you. Like,
Again,
I think he's still astonished. I think this is not he's coming from a calm shock. Place. I think this is coming from a frantic, like, holy cow.
Right.
Situation.
Right. I like the line about the spiritual master because Prabhupada says, right, Krishna is the spiritual master because he originally gave the Vedic instructions to Brahma. And presently he's also instructing the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Therefore, he's the original spiritual master, and any bona fide spiritual master at the present moment, so all of our spiritual masters, must be a descendant in the line of disciplic succession stemming from Krishna. So if they're not a representative of Krishna, they can't become a teacher or a spiritual master of the transcendental subject matters.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. How could there be anyone greater than you within three worlds?
What do you think of when you read that?
Like, that's so powerful. It's like, it's like, he's kind of just like, duh. Like he's just like, but in a really respectful way, you know? Like, how does anyone else like not get it? You know, like, this is, you are the, like, the greatest of the greatest of the great. And no one can be with you, like, be one with you. Like, no one's at that level.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. I think Prabhupada here says also, and I think it's just what Arjuna is feeling inside, that the best policy is to follow the principles of Krishna. That will make one perfect. I think at that point, Arjuna is like, okay, like, I know great warriors, and great warriors are nothing compared to, let's say, great sages. And great sages are nothing compared to great demigods. And great demigods are nothing compared to you. And if we keep going, there really isn't anyone greater than you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, wow, like, you are immeasurably powerful. And like, I understand now. Like, I bow down to you. You are my everything. You are every source. You are the only principle to follow.
I get it.
That is so just amazing. What grace to have had that opportunity to see Krishna like that. Cause then beyond a doubt, not that Arjuna ever had doubts, but I'm thinking, I'd love to see that. So then we can feel with such conviction, like, whoa, this is real.
Yeah.
Like, I guess we just then have to really trust that it is like, when we reach that point, we can too also feel, oh my God, it's all been there the whole time.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that it's not only that Arjuna saw Krishna, but that he finally understood. Because like, even if I was in front of Krishna and I finally saw all of that, I think I would be so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I would fully understand everything so amazingly as Arjuna is. You know, like, it's like, Krishna has said so many things. Krishna told me to breathe. Krishna told me there's different types of yogas to sit on a blades of grass. Like, there's so many things that Krishna has said. And in this moment, Arjuna's like, I finally understand it all. Like, it all just kind of clicked. And like, I think that's also kind of a superpower of Arjuna.
Because
it is so overwhelming to be in that position. Me trying to put myself in those shoes, I think Arjuna himself is a great devotee.
Yeah. I know, and Arjuna's really lucky too, right? Because Arjuna got to see Krishna and then automatically, boom, I have faith, right? Mm. And I think for us in this life, we don't have that privilege of like seeing Krishna and automatically having faith, right? So I think we have to do faith building activities in our own personal lives, whether that is working on our own sadhana, it's our own chanting, our own hanging out with the right people, conversing about Krishna, having like devotee friends, spiritual friends, and like doing things to build our faith, because we don't have God in front of us showing us his universal form. So we need to put the onus on ourselves to create those faith building activities in our own life.
Right. Absolutely.
May we be so lucky to do, as you're saying, Shama Sangeeta, and be able to understand Krishna better every day.
Yeah.
And on that note, we will join you and hope that you join us in the next episode, which is chapter 11, text number 44.
Oh, I want to keep reading it, you guys.
It's so fascinating.
This is a very special feeling that I don't know if we felt along the way.
This is a really special chapter.
Can't wait to talk to you guys again. See you next time.
Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.